cotton agronomist, one of them, at the University of Georgia. And he's going to spend a few minutes talking about on-farm assessments of cotton variety performance. And with that, I'll turn it over to Guy.
Thank you, Dr. Dodge. It's my pleasure to represent the Extension Cotton Specialist Working Group and a few others that you see listed here. So I want to acknowledge all of my colleagues and the contributors to this presentation, because without their information and their data, this wouldn't be possible. I also want to acknowledge Bob Nichols with Cotton Incorporated. Many of the trials that you see listed in this analysis are supported through the Enhanced Variety Testing Program from Cotton Incorporated. And I also want to acknowledge Dale Logan with Seed Matrix. And that's a really interesting database, and I would encourage you to take a look at it if you ever get a chance to. To begin with, why are we doing this on-farm variety testing program? The primary reason, in my opinion, is the rapid release of varieties onto the marketplace in modern times. It used to not be this way, but in modern times, we do have varieties that are very quickly released onto the market and subsequently removed. And that leaves us in a position where it's very difficult to evaluate a variety and learn its characteristics and how to manage it and how to position that variety where it's going to be competitive. And this is due to a number of things: the widespread adoption of certain insect and herbicide tolerant traits, the increased competition with seed companies and advancements in yield protection and seed treatments and so on and so forth. But we are in a very difficult position, and I'll talk a little bit about the importance of variety selection and what it means to our bottom line in just a minute. We do understand that varieties do need to be properly positioned and managed for optimal yields, and in order to do so, we need a robust data set in order to be able to effectively evaluate how they're going to perform for us. All right, so what are the variety selection criteria? Other than the obvious, which is yield potential, fiber quality, technology options, so on and so forth. In my opinion, a variety should be positioned by the most yield-limiting factor, and this is a field-by-field basis, and it's down to the farm level. Most of the time, especially for us in the Southeast, that most yield-limiting factor is going to be water. We do have some varieties that perform well only in irrigated situations. Others perform well across the board, and so on and so forth. But this most yield-limiting factor could be a number of things, like weed control, in which technology options may be a little bit more important than some other characteristics. In some parts of the belt, root knot nematode has really become a problem since the loss of aldicarb. We do have some varieties that do convey some tolerance to root knot nematode. So if, in fact, that may be the most yield-limiting factor, that could influence how these varieties will perform. I do think it's important to realize that even the best varieties out there can perform very poorly if they're positioned incorrectly, and vice versa. Some of the other varieties that may perform very poorly across the board can in fact perform very well if they're positioned correctly. And this just illustrates some of the information from our Georgia trials this year. Our lowest yield environment, our best variety was just 710 pounds. Highest yield environment, the lowest variety there was still over 1,300 pounds. So it's all relative. But down here at that bottom, on that bottom bar, that's a number of pounds that we're leaving on the table if we don't choose the correct variety. In my opinion, evaluating stability is the best predictor for how a variety is going to perform on your farm or field. And by stability, I mean how frequently a variety performs at or near the top. And if one indicates a high degree of stability, then that would suggest that a variety can perform well across a wide range of planting dates, soil types, rainfall patterns, degree of irrigation, so on and so forth. But in order to evaluate stability, we need a very robust data set, many, many locations in multiple years, and it's very difficult to do so. Now, this slide, I'm not going to dissect this too much, but this illustrates the cost per acre associated with improper variety selection. And I'm going to focus more so on the bottom half of this chart. That's for 80-cent cotton, which was fairly realistic for most of us this past year. And I'm going to focus more on the right side of this chart with these figures here. And this is just from the Georgia trials, but I'm very confident you would see a similar result in other states as well. But in each individual trial, what we did, we compared the top variety to the bottom variety, and they're not always the same winners and losers in each trial. But the point I want to make here is if you for a very low error in the variety selection process, if you compare the top four average to the middle four average, that's still costing $77 an acre. And that's quite significant, and that's probably more than any other single agronomic input you're going to make all year long. With a little bit greater error, that figure goes up to $234 an acre, which is quite substantial. And again, we're only choosing from the top varieties from each brand. So why on-farm trials versus small plot OVT? In my opinion, small plot OVT and large plot on-farm trials complement each other very well. They serve two different platforms. The on-farm trials tend to focus on more the top variety or the widely planted varieties in each individual state or region. Small plot OVT can handle a lot more varieties, and especially experimentals, so that we can see get a better look at those when they're coming onto the market. Depending on how OVT is conducted, I know in our state we have an early maturing and late maturing OVT trial, so we can compare early and late varieties in an on-farm situation very effectively. But probably the most important point is the number of environments we're able to capture very quickly within a single growing season with a number of on-farm trials, and it's very difficult to do that in small plot OVT. So with the help of Cotton Incorporated, and a lot of these on-farm trials were being conducted in several states across the belt. Some states had not had a program before, and in some states they expanded their program through this enhanced variety testing program with Cotton Incorporated. So a number of trials were established across the belt in each individual state. And I'm going to try to just highlight each region and acknowledge the scientists that contributed to this program. For the Southeast, you can see the number of trials in each state indicated in black there for each one of those. These are the scientists or the agronomists that contributed to this program. So in the Southeast, that's roughly 2.6 million acres. Across the Mid-South, there was five agronomists there. You can see the number of trials that we had representing 1.2 million acres. And across the Southwest, a number of agronomists there representing roughly 3.8 million acres. So I'm going to only focus and hit the high points for varieties that were common to all trials within each state or region. So I'm going to try to move through this fairly quickly. Again, this may not include all the varieties that were in every single trial. These were the ones that were just common to every one of them. So in starting the upper Southeast with North Carolina and Virginia, there were four trials. Phytogen 375, Delta Pine 1321 were in the top two in 50% of those trials. A single trial that you see here to the right was managed according to a Liberty-based program, and you can see how these varieties ranked accordingly. In South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida, a number of varieties were common to all of those trials. We had 23 trials in these states, environments ranging from 600-pound trial average up to over 1,500 pounds. Delta Pine 1252 was in the top two in 61% of those trials. Delta Pine 1137 and 1050 were in the top two roughly 40% of the time. In Alabama, there's two different sets of trials. The one on the right was in northern Alabama in the Tennessee Valley. The other four were scattered throughout the state. Environments ranging from 850 to over 1,900 pounds. Delta Pine 1050, and then further down on the chart, Stoneville 6448 were both in the top two 50% of the time. A number of those varieties were in the top two at least one out of those four trials. This one in upper Alabama, you can see that average 1490, and you can see how these varieties compared to each other there. In Arkansas and Missouri, there were 11 trials ranging from 950 to nearly 1,800 pounds an acre. Stoneville 4946 was in the top two nearly 65% of the time. Delta Pine 0912 and Dynagrow 2285 were in the top two in roughly a third of these trials. In Mississippi, 10 trials ranging from 600 pounds to over 2,000 pounds an acre trial averages. NextGen 1511 was in the top two in 40% of those trials. Delta Pine 1321 and Phytogen 499, roughly 60% of the time they were in the top two. Louisiana, there were four trials average with trial averages ranging from 900 to nearly 1,700 pounds, Delta Pine 1133 and Fibromax 1944, and half of those trials, they were in the top two. Now, Kansas and Oklahoma are a very similar situation in terms of number of trials. In Kansas, there was a very tight range in terms of yield environment, very, very close, very similar. And you can see these top four varieties were in the top two at least half the time. Phytogen 339, 375, and Delta Pine 0912 and 1321. In Oklahoma, again, a very similar situation. Four varieties were in the top two half the time. Next Gen 1511, Stoneville 4946, Fibromax 1740, and Phytogen 499. In the Texas High Plains, there was a lot of variability in the number of varieties in each one of these trials, but there were five varieties common to six of these trials, with trial averages ranging from 680 to roughly 1,960 pounds an acre. Next Gen 1511, 67% of the time it was the number one variety when only comparing these five varieties. In South and East Texas, there were 13 trials, averaging 690 to over 2,200 pounds an acre. Phytogen 499, 77% of the time it was in the top two, and then Delta Pine 1044, almost half the time it was in the top two. And lastly, in Arizona, there were six trials averaging 1,290 to 1,630 pounds an acre. Delta Pine 1044 was in the top two 67% of the time. Stoneville 4946 in the top two over 80% of the time. So that'll conclude my remarks. I'm just hitting the highlights again. So you'll see a lot of this information in other outlets and other platforms for each individual state. I do want to acknowledge again Cotton Incorporated for supporting this program, other state commodity boards. Our seed companies are critical to this program, and again, all the co-authors you saw listed, without them I couldn't have done this, as well as our county agents, consultants, and cooperating growers. They're all critical components to making this happen. Any questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you, guys.